Luke chapter 1, the angel said unto her, Fear not, Mary, for thou hast found favor with God. And behold, thou shalt conceive in thy womb and bring forth a son. And here's the instructions. And shalt call his name Jesus. Matthew chapter 1. That was the appearance of the angel to Mary. And this is the account of the appearance to Joseph. And while he thought on these sayings, behold, the angel of the Lord appeared unto him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary thy wife, for that which is conceived in her is of the Holy Ghost, and she shall bring forth a son, and notice the instructions are the same, thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. I want to, from the word, share this morning these instructions given to Mary and Joseph. That's going to be my title. Name him Savior. Amen. Name him Savior. Father, we thank you for the greatest story ever told, but it's not just a story, it's true. Lord, you did send your son to be the Savior of the world. And whosoever shall call upon him shall be saved. Thank you for that, Lord. Make the gospel real to our hearts all over again. Lord, we stand in debt. Lord, you could have just obliterated us, gotten rid of us, but you chose to save us. Thank you, Lord. Anoint me to speak these words in Jesus' name. Amen. You can be seated. If you wonder why I haven't said anything about our new grandbaby, I'm going to in a minute. But have you ever wondered, when you hear what parents name their child, have you ever asked yourself the question, why did they name them that? I was surprised at some of the names that in 2017 that were catching on. Zorro. Why would you name a child Zorro? Nashi. Why would you name a child Nashi? Omega. Why would you? Well, maybe that one. You can understand why you might name a child Omega. But those are names that caught on this past year. You know, when you find out someone's expectant or going to have a baby, you ask mom and dad, what are you going to name? What are you going to name the child? And then after, if you haven't found out, you ask, what did you name your child? But after the what did you name your child and what are you going to name your child, there always comes another question many times. Why did you name your child that? You see, parents choose their child's name, and they usually do so with a lot of care. So I asked Hannah this week, and let me just pause and just put it in here. We were grateful for the birth of our healthy granddaughter. I'll tell you her name in a moment, but we're celebrating with Caleb and Hannah, and thank you for all the congratulations we've received from you guys. So I asked Hannah, why Naomi Faith? And she said, well, we've always liked the name Naomi, and it means pleasant. But she said we named her Naomi Faith because we prayed so long for this child, and God gave her to us, Naomi Faith. That's why they named her that. So, you know, whose prerogative is that to name a child? It's the parents' prerogative. I want you to think about it, those of you that had children right before your child was born. What if a stranger had just walked into your house or walked into the hospital room where you and your wife were about to have that baby and said, listen, I want to tell you something. You have to name your child this. How many of you parents would have taken well to that? You have to name your child this. I've tried to convince my children, having a male child, to name him Clifford. No takers. That red dog ruined it all. But parents are not going to take kindly to being told what to name their child. So have you ever thought about the fact that Mary and Joseph were told what they were to name their child? Gabriel appeared to both independently, Mary the mother, the stepfather Joseph, and instructed them that that baby was to be named Jesus. And so the question is, why Jesus? First of all, this morning, because that's what he would be. He was going to be a Jesus. He's going to be a Savior. Because that's what he would be, Savior. Look at the text again in Matthew 1:21. Name him Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. Let me tell you something about the name of Jesus. That is not a translation. That is a transliteration. A translation, when you go from one language to another, is you give the equivalent word in the language you're translating into. A transliteration is when you take the word of the first language and you assign it the similar sounds in the second language, and you use the letters of the second language that are the closest to the first. Let me give you an example. Igloo. That is not a translated word. That is the Inuit, the Eskimo word for their house. Igloo, that's it. It's not been translated. It's been transliterated. So when you write I-G-L-O, you're transliterating that. You're giving English letters and English sounds to the Eskimo word. And so when he said, name him Jesus, we have only Englishized what the angel said. Amen. J-E-S-U-S. We tried to get as close as we could to what the angel said, name him in English. Not translating it, but with the sounds we say Jesus. In the Greek, where it's written in Matthew, it's Iesus, Iesus. And you're right, sounds very close to the Spanish, because the Spanish didn't translate. They transliterated. But if you go to what Mary actually heard and Joseph actually heard, it was the Hebrew Yeshua or Yeshua, Yeshua. But that's still not my point, because when the angel told Mary and Joseph what they were to name the child, in their minds they did not hear Jesus, the English. In their minds they did not hear Jesus, the Greek. In their minds they did not hear Yeshua, the Hebrew. What they heard in their minds was this word, Savior, Savior. That's what you are to name your child, because that's what Jesus means, and that's what Jesus means, and that's what Yeshua means. It means Savior. Hallelujah. Amen. And so can you imagine, as Mary rocked that infant Christ, that word in the flesh. Amen. I'm going to translate now. She would look down at him and try to calm him. And she would say, shh, 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 Savior. It's going to be okay, Savior. Shh. That's what she was literally saying. Can you imagine as he began to grow and he had younger siblings? Amen. Can you imagine those siblings come running through the house? Savior, come play with us. Savior, come play with us. Can you imagine his getting a little older and Joseph coming into the house and saying, I need some help out of the workshop. Savior, could you come help me out in the workshop? Amen. They had their Hanukkah card they sent out, being good Jews. And on their card it says, greetings from Joseph, Mary, Savior, James, and Jude. Amen. That's what it means. And that's why many years later, as he walked the streets of Jericho, that blind man called out. Amen. What was he calling out? We said he called out Jesus. That's just our sounds for it. But what blind Bartimaeus cried out when he called him by name, he was crying out, Savior. You're to name him Savior. Why? Because that is who he is. His name is who he is. And who he is reveals what he had come to do. He's called Savior because he's come to save. And that leads us to a second point. But the reason the angel instructed them to name him Savior is because that's what humanity needed. They needed a Savior. Look at the verse again. Call him Jesus or Savior. Why? For he shall save his people from their sins. You see, the name Savior is meaningless if we don't need saving. But if we need saving, it means something to call him Savior. It's very simple. We need saved, as the angel said, because of our sins. We need saved not in our sin. We need saved not with our sin. But notice what it says here. We need saved from our sins. That is not a gospel that says God saves us in our sins and we keep on sinning. It's the gospel that says he saves us from our sins. Amen. I watched this week an apologist, and he was in a question answering scenario at one of the colleges, and a lot of those students, as they are today, were atheists and agnostics. And a young man took the mic who was a relativist, or felt like he was, and he was an atheist, a liberal. And he began to tell the apologist there's no such thing as evil in the world. That's just a label we put on things. It's just a person's opinion that something's evil, because there's no true evil in the world. And the apologist tried to be really nice, and finally the apologist looked at him and said, are you going to tell me that torturing and molesting babies is not evil? And the guy said, well, that's just what we call it, but there's no objective morality. And the apologist pointed his finger and said, listen, you can say what you want to, but you know in your heart that to torture a baby is evil, 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 evil. And the point is, we live in a time when nothing's wrong, nothing's a violation of God, and nothing is sin. But I want you to know, down deep in their hearts, people know that there is sin in this world. There's evil in this world. I gave you an extreme example, but I want you to know evil exists. Darkness exists in our world. Sin exists. And I know it exists in the world because it, first of all, exists in human hearts, not just my neighbor's heart. It exists in my heart. I'm just talking about, well, you say, why are you talking about the ugliness of sin? I talk about it because that's why we needed a Savior. You say, what about it? Not me. I don't need that. I'd like to remind you what Paul said in Romans 3. He said, for all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. I cannot talk about the evil of the world without finding my finger pointed back at me. Amen. He didn't come just to save the wicked out there. He came to save the wicked that I was, the sinful that I was. They called him Savior because we needed saving from sin. There's no sin, there'd been no need of a Savior. You know, I've often wondered, being a preacher, I've often wondered why I had to try to get this gospel of Jesus Christ to appeal to some folks. I didn't say that well, but what I'm trying to say is, you know, this is a wonderful truth. It's good news, and you would expect people to be eager to hear it and eager to receive it and eager to say that's for me. This is wonderful. I want that. And yet you spend time trying to convince people that this is good news and convince people that this should appeal to them. I've wondered about that. You know, why would you need to convince a drowning man that he needed the lifeguard? Why would you need to convince a man with a disease that he needed a doctor? Why would you need to convince somebody trapped in a two-story burning house that they needed a fireman? My feeling is you wouldn't need to convince the drowning man he needed a lifeguard. You wouldn't need to convince the sick man he needed a doctor. You wouldn't need to convince the one in the burning house that they needed a fireman. And so what's the reason? Well, to me, there's only one real reason, and that is the drowning man doesn't believe he's drowning, and the burning man doesn't
believe he's burning, and the sick man doesn't believe he's sick. Amen. That's why it's not good news. But when you discover, yes, I am drowning, and you discover, yes, I am about to burn, and when you discover, yes, I am, then it's good news to hear his name is Savior, because he's come to save us from our sin. Oh, what a wonderful gospel. Can you say amen? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Jesus later said, they that are whole need not a physician. I've thought many times, what is he saying here? They that are whole need not a doctor. I think one thing he's saying, if you don't see that you're sick, you'll never see your need for the doctor. But I believe he's also saying, the doctor would not have come if you had not been sick. Amen. Amen. The doctor came because he heard you were sick. He had never walked into your room had he not heard you were sick. Amen. The very fact that the doctor's here means that we're sick. And the very fact that the Savior came, amen, means that we needed saving. Glory to God. Realize it or not, admit it or not, acknowledge it or not, he came because I needed saving. Bless his holy name. The world is sick. The world's feverish with hatred. The world's rotted with immorality. The world's festering with bitterness, swelling with rebellion, hurting from betrayal and disillusionment. The world is starving from an emptiness. They're malnourished from the lack of truth. They're dehydrated with the lack of love. Listen to me. I don't want to be redundant, but if the world were not bad, there'd been no need for good to come. And if the world were not dark, there'd been no need for light to come. And if the world were not perishing, there'd been no need for the Savior to come. But it is, and he has. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Oh, hallelujah. Call him Savior, because the world needs saved. Let me summarize this point to say, the baby in the manger is cute because the sin in the world is ugly. That's what we're celebrating. Oh, I could pause here. I better not. I just better move on. Hallelujah. It's just a baby in the manger. It's not the work of the artist. We find that baby in the manger cute because we find the sin in the world so ugly, and we know that baby came to save us from that sin. Hallelujah. You see, we're living a time of pluralism. It's infiltrated the church. Please hear me. We're living in an age. We've seen it come to pass in my lifetime where America has accepted pluralism. Pluralism, put simply, is nobody can say that their way is the only way, because all ways are legitimate. There are many ways to God. There are many ways to heaven. All religions are valid. Amen. That's the going philosophy of the day. I will not even beg the point. If the other ways are valid, why did God have to send Jesus to die on the cross? Why couldn't we have just taken another way and God not sacrifice his Son? That's not my point. My point is Acts 4:19. Amen. The man of God said, neither is there salvation in any other. Here it is. For there is none other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. If sin is the problem, then there's only one way. If sin is the problem, the way is the way with the Savior. It's the religion with the Savior. Hallelujah. And sin is the problem, and therefore there's only one way, and his name is Jesus. There's not salvation in any other. Salvation is in the name of the Savior. Hallelujah. I said hallelujah. He didn't come. He didn't do all that coming. He didn't do all that dying. just for Christians, amen, and not for Hindus, and not for Jews, and not for Muslims, and not for Wiccans. Amen. He did all that coming. He did all that dying for every human person, because it was humans that sinned. Amen. Right now, there's 7 billion people on earth, and every one of them, regardless of their affiliation, regardless of their ethnicity, regardless of their background, every one of those 7 billion people need to be saved. That's why I'm glad the angel said, name him Savior. We don't just need to be saved. The Savior has come. Hallelujah. Praise his name.
Last of all, this morning, the angel said, name him Jesus, because that is what he would continue to be through the ages. He's forever going to be the Savior. I want you to think with me this morning. There are some, for odd reasons, change their name. But basically, the rule is, if you live 100 years, your name will be, when you die, what it was when you were born. Isn't that right? Amen. You may choose not to use it, but it's still your name. And the name, hear me, this isn't a moribund or a negative thought. It's just the truth. But the name on your birth certificate is going to be the same name on your death certificate. It's going to be the same name on your tombstone. Why name him Jesus? He wasn't just Jesus for the 33 years he walked on earth. What they named him there at that stable cave that day was going to be his name through his lifetime and through eternity. Hallelujah. His name is going to be Savior. He was Jesus in the manger. He was Jesus in the temple at age 12. He was Jesus when he was baptized. He was Jesus when he healed folks. He was Jesus when he was on trial. He was Jesus on the cross. If you don't believe it, ask that thief that hung next to him what his name was on the cross. He'll tell you what his name on the cross. It was Jesus. He saved me in those last moments. His name was Jesus when he was laid in the tomb. His name was Jesus when he rose again. His name was Jesus when he ascended to the Father. And let me tell you something right now, this day, his name is still Jesus. What does that mean? Savior. I said he's still the Savior. Amen. December 17th, 2017, on this day, his name is still Savior. Oh, hallelujah. Say it first of all with me, Jesus. Now let's translate it, Savior. Hallelujah. Every time you sing Jesus, every time you say Jesus, you are acknowledging the fact that he is Savior. He was Jesus when he was born. He was Jesus when he lived. He was Jesus when he died. He was Jesus when he was buried. He was Jesus when he rose again. He was Jesus when he ascended. He's Jesus right here, right now. And when the trumpet sounds and he returns, we're still going to call him Jesus. He's the Savior. My Savior, your Savior. Today, he saves from the guilt of sin. Nothing in the world can get rid of that. The shame of sin. He saves from the shame of sin. You might have done something, every time you think of it, such awful shame comes over you. No psychology, no pills, no denial, no fooling yourself will ever get rid of that shame. But the Savior can save you from the shame of sin. How many's had him save you from the shame of sin? Amen. He saves from the destruction of sin. It wasn't that sin was just a violation of God's law. It was that. It's not that sin's just a rebellion against God. It's that. It's not that sin's just fallen short of the law of God. It's that. It's the fact that sin is inherently, completely, every time, destructive to the sinner. Destroys our minds, destroys our emotions, destroys our lives.
life, destroys marriages, destroys families, destroys society. Amen. But I want you to know there's a Savior who can save you from the destruction of sin. He'll save from the hopelessness of sin. There's no hope in the world, none of its philosophies, none of its pleasures. He'll save you from the hopelessness of sin. He'll save you from the hold of sin, the bondage of sin, the chains of sin. Amen. Some of you know what I'm talking about. You called out Jesus and the chains fell off. The bondage went away. He saves from the bondage of sin. He saves from the punishment of sin. You got to be able to shout, when He saved me from my sin, He saved me from hell. He saved me from eternal punishment. He saved me from outer darkness. He saved me from complete separation from God. He has saved me. Hallelujah. Oh, Isaiah said of Him, He who spoke of Jesus, Isaiah said, He's mighty to save. The writer of Hebrews says, amen, he said, He's able to save them to the uttermost. And Peter requoted the scripture when he preached on the day of Pentecost. And he said, and it shall come to pass that whosoever shall call upon His name shall be saved. How many believes that this morning? If you call on His name, you're going to be saved. Amen. Well, what is His name? He has many names. He's Counselor. He's Prince of Peace. He's Mighty God. He's Son of God. He's Son of Man. He's the Word. He's the Way. He's the Truth. He's the Life. He's the Lamb of God. He's the Holy One. He's the Messiah. He's the Redeemer. He's the Master. He's Emmanuel. We could go on and on. He's the Bread. He's the Vine. He's the Resurrected. Resurrection. Amen. 50-something names. Amen. But when it says, they that call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved, which of those names do you use? Amen. You don't call out Counselor. You don't call out Prince of Peace. You don't call out Bread. You don't call, what name do you use when you want to be saved? The name of the Lord is Jesus. Jesus. Why? Because when you call out the name of Jesus, you're calling out Savior. Savior. Oh, blind Bartimaeus got it right. Jesus, thou Son of David, have mercy on me. Would you come, music? Jesus is His proper name. Jesus is His birth name. Savior. Hallelujah. There are times that we dread to hear our name called. I've heard mothers say to their children, I'm going to change my name. If you have responsibilities, if you're a boss, there are times you dread to hear your name called. Amen. Let me tell you something about Jesus this morning that we can rejoice in. Jesus never dreads to hear His name called. You say, He don't want to hear from me. Yes, sir, He wants to hear from you. If you knew the mess that I'm in, you would know that Jesus doesn't want me calling out to Him. You're wrong. You're not in a mess so big that Jesus wouldn't willingly and readily like to hear you call out His name. Remember, when you say Jesus, you're asking for Savior salvation. Fanny Crosby, that wrote so many of those wonderful hymns, was blind. Many of you know that. One day she was asked to speak and sing at a prison. Couldn't see anything. She sang. She shared the Word. And she said, somewhere from the back of that gathered crowd of inmates or from one of the cells, she said, I heard a man, an inmate, respond to what he heard that day. And she said, I heard him pray, good Lord, do not pass me by. Lord, do not turn Your back on me. Don't ignore me. Don't forget me. Don't neglect me. She couldn't forget those words, and so she went home that evening, and she wrote the words of the song. I'll just give you the one line. Savior, Savior, hear my humble cry. While on others Thou art calling, do not pass me by. Why name him Jesus? So that inmate could say, Savior, Savior, do not pass me by. Oh, hallelujah. I believe someone is especially here this morning so you can call out Jesus. Knowing when you call out Jesus, you're calling out, Savior, save me. Would you stand across this building? I want us, church, to all pray together. Could we not do that? Let's pray right now that somebody that is in need, amen, it might be salvation of soul, it might be physical need, it might be need in a family, need in a marriage, need at work, need at school, inner needs, needs of heart. But you'll just cry out, Jesus, knowing that when you say the English, iced Jesus, that you're really saying, Savior, Savior. Oh, hallelujah. The name Savior is rooted in the word that means Jehovah saves. Oh, hallelujah. I said the word Savior linguistically is rooted in the word Jehovah saves. Could I tell you this morning, Jesus saves. That's why you can call him Savior. Let's pray, Father. Draw right now with your Holy Spirit. We've learned modern ways of putting it, but there's no other way to put it this morning. I want to talk to you. You're here. And with the humility of heart, everyone that approaches God must have, you say, I realize I need a Savior. I realize I need to be saved. I realize I need that lifeguard, that doctor, that fireman. I need to be saved. If that's you this morning, I want to invite you to these steps we use as an altar. I promise you, if you come, there'll be folks immediately to pray with you. But I want you to know, I want you to come using his name, Jesus. Jesus, Savior. Do you need saved this morning? Would you begin to come right now? Amen. Could you sing some of that? Hallelujah.
Savior,
could you call out that this morning, Savior?
My humble cry, while on others thou art calling, oh, do not pass.
Would you sing that with her? As you're singing, somebody here knows that the Holy Spirit is talking to you. Jesus is loving you right now. Jesus is reaching out to you. I came to be your Savior. That's what my name is. Jesus. Jesus. Would you like to call out to him, Jesus? Jesus. Sing it again. Not just for salvation, but you've got a desperate need of your heart. Desperate need of your heart. I'd like to invite you to come and just begin to say Jesus. Knowing that when you say Jesus, you're saying Savior. Would you come right now? You've got a desperate need of your heart. Would you come right now? Hallelujah. I'll never be able with my persuasion to make it appealing to you. But if you realize you need a Savior, the best news I can simply tell you is his name is Jesus. His name is Savior. I'm going to open these altars up in general because it's our custom to come and pray. But as the church begins to come and pray, why don't you join them? Whatever your need. You say, I don't know how to pray. Just use his name. Use his name. Jesus. Savior. Jesus, Savior. Come on, call out to him. Amen. We ought to hear all across the front. Jesus. 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 Oh, use his name when you pray. Whatsoever you shall ask the Father in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. Do you need him this morning? Call out to him.
call out to him, Jesus. God in his love is speaking to you. God in his love is talking, reaching. Hallelujah, laying hold of heart, life, mind.
Hallelujah.
Use his name as you pray, Jesus. I need a Savior.
Hear my humble cry.
I don't need a philosophy. I need a Savior. Don't need a support group. I need a Savior. Don't need more fun. I need a Savior. Oh, call on him. Hallelujah. Hallelujah.
How many names can I use to explain the love of my Jesus?
Thank you, Jesus.
The life that he gave so many times.
Jesus, have mercy on me.
Will I praise you today?
Savior.
My life, 'cause you're always the same. Am I offering?
Oh, Jesus.
To you? What I hold on to, I know that you brought me through all the days of loss to the cross. You knew I need a Savior. Your name is Jesus. Your name is Jesus. You're what I hold on to. I know that you brought me through all the days of loss to the cross. You knew I need a Savior. How many songs can I sing to proclaim your wondrous love and beauty so great? What would I say if you brought down the rain? And every day I walk through the pain, would say your name is Jesus. You're what I hold on to. I know that you brought me through all the days of loss to the cross. You knew I'd need a Savior. How many names can I use to explain the love of my Jesus, the life that he gave? So many times will I praise you today. I lift up my life, 'cause you're always the same. Am I all? I need a savior.